I wanted to talk to you about the story you've been telling me about your... Is it your first job out of college?
My first job in the business world. I switched careers from the sciences, decided to try banking.
Okay.
Because in the early 90s, there was this huge refinance boom in mortgage banking. And from the sciences, I had a strong math background. So I thought it would translate well.
Okay.
And I really wanted to do something different because I had decided not to go to medical school.
Wow, that's a huge decision.
Yes, I happened to make a connection with a very senior executive for a bank out of Texas, and I was in Chicago at the time, and they had a big mortgage business in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And talking to him over dinner, he said, hey, we're having like a screening for candidates. Why don't you come and go through the screening? I showed up a couple days later, like 10 o'clock on a Sunday morning, to this big production operations center and took a 2-hour test along with almost 100 other people. Mm-hmm. And they called 5 of us back for interviews, and he offered 2 of us the job. I was placed in one office with one of his managers, and the other person went to their main office. And I thought, this was great. Now I have this new career. It's exciting. So I met my new manager, and the first thing that struck me was my new manager, Ron, didn't seem that excited to meet me. But I thought, well, maybe he's a serious, busy guy. I won't read too much into it. They had sort of a standard way of doing things, and I tried my best to comply. So I did my best to study on the side to ramp up faster than their 6-month training program. But my new manager, Ron, was not impressed.
What was your position, by the way?
I was a loan officer.
Okay.
Like lowly salesperson. But so, for example, you can make nothing as a loan officer because you're on 100% commission. Or one of our top producers in my particular office made $1 million a year.
As a loan officer?
As a loan officer.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay.
And he had 2 assistants. And I knew the potential for income was there.
What was the issue that you faced with this first business job? You mentioned you had some challenges with this manager that you didn't foresee.
Right. I just had this weird sensation that he kept setting me up to fail. I didn't know why. Like, for example, here I was, this new loan officer. You would think he would start me off easy. Instead, he threw me into an area of Chicago called the North Shore, which is the most affluent area of Chicago. You have to know what you're talking about when you're calling on people buying $1 million homes.
Right, and this is your first
Lake
job.
Lake Michigan. Exactly.
And you're still a trainee.
Exactly, and I thought that was kind of strange.
Maybe he's giving you a good opportunity because you were networked in.
Yeah, I thought maybe I'm reading him wrong. Maybe he just thinks so much of me. I also thought it was a little strange that he didn't have anybody in his office yet that owned that territory.
Oh, so he gave you ownership of a territory. Is that normal for a trainee?
I didn't know.
Oh,
I was
okay.
New.
Right.
So my first instinct was, this doesn't make sense. But then I thought, you know, I should trust him. You know, I got to defer to his experience.
Of course.
And his judgment.
Right.
And then the second thing was, after he assigns me this huge region, he starts giving me these funky tasks, like run all these files down to our main office in Schaumburg, which was, you know, 45 minutes to an hour each way. Mm-hmm. Well, if I'm such a valuable salesperson, then why is he having me run mail drop errands for 2 hours a day?
So is that part of training? Like, did other people get the same...
I was the only trainee in the office. I was the only
So you didn't know whether this was standard. Did you think it was weird or just like, oh, well, the business world is new and therefore...
Right. I asked a couple of people, including one of the processors, is this standard? And the answer I got was, well, we've never done it before.
Okay.
So I didn't know if I was special or, you know, there was something new going on there. And I should have asked. I should have gone straight to him, and I should have asked.
So what exactly happened?
Well, of course, for every breakthrough, there's a breakdown, right?
Okay.
So there was one day where somebody on his team came to me and said, hey, Ron said you need to run these files down to Schaumburg.
Okay.
I didn't think anything of it. He had asked me that 4 or 5 times before. I throw all these in the back of my car, and I'm driving down to Schaumburg, and cell phones were new at the time because this was, you know, the 90s, so I'm on speakerphone talking to a realtor that I'm trying to get to be a client the whole way down, talking to another potential builder client the whole way back. I get back into the office, and he pulls me into his office, pulls all the papers out of my arms, throws them on the ground, and just starts screaming at me. He is livid. Basically, he's saying, how dare you take the morning off and just go do whatever the expletive you want when you should be in the office, because we needed you to help with these applications and you were nowhere to be found. And I tried calling you 3 times and you were not here.
Okay.
And it took him a long time to calm down before he would let me say a word. But I was so shaken up, I could barely speak because I'm 23 years old. This is my first business job. This guy is 20 years older than me. I have absolutely no status in an office of 25 people. So I walked out just completely shaken and thinking, what could I have done differently? How could I have better managed his expectations of me? How could I have better responded to that situation? Did I do something wrong?
So I guess looking back at it now, what, 15 years later, how do you perceive what happened? What was it that you thought was going on and what actually happened?
What I thought was going on was that it was a miscommunication and he was just a mean guy, you know, and he didn't give me the benefit of the doubt. But what actually happened was really understandable.
Okay.
I finally did get my act together and I went back and I talked to him and I expressed myself respectfully but thoughtfully. I went in and said, I think there are a number of things in our working relationship that haven't been explicitly laid out on the table, and it's time for us to do that, and I apologize that I haven't done that sooner. And he responded really well to that. Okay. And then I explained to him some of the anomalies that I noticed, like sending me into, you know, the hardest to break in part of the city, giving me menial tasks when he, on the one hand, he seems to be treating me like a valuable salesperson. On the other hand, I'm a gopher.
And then he doesn't recognize that he sent you over there and then yells at you for doing it.
Yeah, and I told him the reason I was out of pocket was I was on my cell phone trying to develop business while running errands that I thought he had sent me on because one of his lead salesperson people had handed me a stack of files to drive down to the other office. It turns out he didn't know that that person had handed me a stack of files to drive down to the other office.
Okay, so it was miscommunication.
Then. Absolutely, it was a miscommunication. And if there isn't, there's still no reason to rip them apart. And I said, what we really need to do is lay out what your expectations are of me so I understand them. Because I don't know what they are. And so I basically said, here are my questions. And he said, leave me with these questions. I said, okay, I would really like these answered in the next week so that I have more of a foundation to work from.
Okay.
He never answered those questions.
Okay.
But we did end up having dinner with his manager, my husband and I, a few weeks later.
So you were friends with the head honcho?
Well, my husband was.
Okay.
And so over dinner, I mentioned the altercation and interaction I had with his branch manager, Ron. Cliff brushed it off, and he said, yeah, he's just irritated because the last 2 people I hired and put in his office were complete deadbeats.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay. There's the aha.
There was a mystery. Light bulb. So I realized that I had walked into a situation with this guy where, oh, my manager is sending me another deadbeat. And I did not have that context. And there were so many signs that something was askew. But I was too shy and insecure and didn't trust my own judgment and instincts to step up and say something and confront the situation.
Right. It was your first job, business job. So you didn't know what was the norm.
You know, what I learned from it is that it doesn't matter if you're 42 or 22.
Right.
You know, you have to trust your instincts. You have to stand up for yourself. And once I did, things were much better with him because he realized, okay, I'm not just another deadbeat. I want to be accountable. I care what he thinks, which was an important point to make.
To communicate.
To him that I'm not just taking up space and drinking coffee.
Did you ever bring it up to him that you knew that the other two kind of ruined your reputation? Did you ever, like, directly have the conversation with that, hey, I understand where you're coming from. You might think I'm similar because I've been brought in by a friend.
Right.
But I'm here. Did you have that conversation? Or
you know, I didn't. But I, now that you mention it, I probably should have. But instead, I proved to him that I wasn't a deadbeat by becoming the second biggest producer in the office.
Wow, awesome.
I could tell. for the first time, he would be smiling at me in the morning and saying good morning to me and asking me how my weekend was. And so I knew that we had gotten over that whole bias.
Right.
And there's a part of me that
he assumed the opposite, and you basically said, well, I'm going to demonstrate. I'm not going to tell. I'm going to show you
exactly
that I'm here to stay. I'm here to prove that I'm worthy of the job. I'm here to prove I'm better than worthy.
Yeah. Plus, at that age, I don't think I could have said, hey, I know why you were treating me like crap.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I would have said, hey, you were unfair. And I understand why, because there was a pattern. But
right.
You still could have given me the benefit
and you
of
didn't,
the doubt.
You didn't even say that.
No,
that's hard. I mean, yeah, I think the millennial generation are much more honest.
Yeah,
and probably, maybe less diplomatically, might say something, although...
Yeah, but
wow,
I think,
what a story.
I think the important thing would have been to be diplomatic if I had been bold enough. I think, for me, I don't know if you know who Stan Slapp is,
mm-hmm.
but he does a lot of work around people getting to know their real values.
Mm-hmm.
And through some of the guidance that he's provided, I've discovered one of my values that I was never aware of before is courage.
Mm-hmm.
And in that moment, I think... And in that time I spent in that job, the one thing I really lacked was courage.
Right.
And
the confidence to ask, is this normal? Like, you asked other people around you, but not actually confront the guy directly. Although it sounded like you did.
Eventually, when it came to the point where my choices were, you know, be a beaten down dog, quit, or stand up for myself, I chose option 3.
Right.
But it had to come to that, and I probably could have prevented that if I had addressed things before they boiled over.
So from a parting thought standpoint, what would you advise somebody who new to a job, maybe it's not even their first job, but just new to a job and seemed, you know, experienced some uncertainty of what's going on? What are like the top 3 things you would tell them?
I would say be aware that there's a lot of context and biases that predate your arrival, and
absolutely.
You will be exposed to those, judged by those, viewed through those biases, whether
it's
or not.
It's fair or not.
It's fair or not, exactly.
Right.
So deal with that.
So number one, right?
Right. Number two, you have to reach out to individuals that might be making things uncomfortable for you for 2 reasons. Number one, you can explain to them what your perspective is, share, open up, and give them a chance to do the same, to reciprocate. Or number two, you can verify that they're not somebody you can open up to, and they're just going to be an ongoing problem, and figure out how to mitigate that issue with them so that you can continue to work in a sane and stable environment without it eating you up alive.
So focus on what you can do, not so much what you can change about them, per se.
Exactly. Like, offer the olive branch. If it isn't accepted, then...
Work around.
Yes.
Or leave.
Yeah, then you deal with that in a calm, rational way. And I think third is take responsibility for the expectations that people have.
What do you mean?
If you get the sense that you're annoying or disappointing someone or even impressing them and you don't know why... Lay that out on the table explicitly so you can understand what's at work, so you can empower yourself to make better decisions.
Right, because you always feel the discomfort, but you may not know what's going on. And
exactly.
If you assume one thing and did that thing, it may not fix anything.
Exactly. Like, oh gosh, what did I do to make them happy? What did I do to make them mad? Or maybe it wasn't me at all. So validate that. Get it all out on the table, because you'd be surprised the people who want to participate in those dialogues.
And respond to that kind of courage.
Exactly.
Taking the courage to have the honest dialogue, to kind of open up and sort of clarify everything and almost diffuse any elephants in the room.
Exactly. And then I'd say for me, the biggest thing, and I'm kind of going like the countdown to what's number one, and I'd say the number one thing you have to do is make yourself known as somebody who is not a pushover. Someone who's going to stand up and address issues head on, even if it's paralyzingly terrifying for you, even if it's completely uncomfortable, it's something that has to be done. And when people know you as somebody who doesn't let things slide, then they're not going to try and get away with anything with you, because they know that you're going to deal with it, you're going to address it.
And you can do it tactfully, professionally.
Right. You can be respectful, but you need to stand your ground, because there are some people out there, fortunately not too many people, but a few, who who will push you around when they're having a bad day just because they know they can.
Hopefully it's just a few. Management definitely gives people a sense of power.
Absolutely.
You know? So this is a great story. Thank you for your time.
You're welcome.